How's everybody tonight? Are you blessed and highly favored, appointed and anointed? Are you armed and dangerous? Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. In His presence. It's His presence. That's why people mess up. It's, you know, the problem isn't nothing but lack of God's presence. And that's what the devil loves to do, keep you out of God's presence. You know, when a wolf comes, he grabs a sheep out of the flock and he separates them. And he convinces you that you can just read your Bible and you'll make it. No, you won't. Because if the word's not backed by the anointing, you ain't going to make it. That's why we must have God's presence. That's why we worship. The Father searches those who worship Him in spirit and truth. It's amazing how many believers are out there that still do not worship with all of their might and all their heart because they don't love God's presence yet. You must fall in love with His presence, and His presence must be everything. Not your spouse, not your children, not your business, not your money. It's His presence that's first. Because without His presence, we're nothing. Amen? It's in His presence that everything is. Deliverance and healing. Revelation, peace, joy, and righteousness is in His presence. It's His presence. It's amazing in how many believers I come across that don't know God's presence. And then they don't know what He's saying to them because He speaks to you from His presence. He doesn't send you a letter. The Bible's a letter for you, but most people don't even interpret it correctly. Amen? His word is everything. But Jesus was manifested. He became flesh and He was the Word. He didn't do nothing until the presence of God came upon Him. The anointing. The anointing is everything. Without the anointing, we're nothing. John chapter 10. Oh, happy days. Hallelujah. When people stop putting blame on their faults and start taking responsibility and realizing the reason why they had a fault is because of God's lack of presence. Amen? The devil hates God's presence. The devil comes to what? Steal, kill, and destroy. God comes to bring life and life abundantly. He brings deliverance and healing, peace, joy, and righteousness, and Holy Ghost. If some of those things are missing from your life, that means you're lacking God's presence. And you need to press in. You know, people go out and shop till they drop. Worship till you drop. Sow. Why? Because you're actually sowing in the Spirit. The more you sow, the more you reap. Hallelujah. John 10:11, please. Let's speak it. I am the good shepherd. Is everybody there? The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep, but a hireling who is not the shepherd, one who does not know the sheep, sees a wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. The hireling flees because he is a hireling and does not care about the sheep. I am the good shepherd. And I know my sheep and am known by my own. As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold, not of this dimensional reality. I want you to grab hold of this. Them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. The sheep from another fold of space and time or dimension. You know, we ain't the only ones. Hello. Many people don't like to talk about certain things. But Jesus says it right here. I have sheep from another fold that I'm going to bring here. And we're going to be all united as one sheep. With one shepherd. You know, God's been around for a long time. He didn't sit around and wait for me and you. We have brothers and sisters from another fold and dimension. We don't even know who they are yet. But we're going to meet them all of them. Who knows what they look like? They could have played on Star Trek. I don't know. They could have been, you know, Klingons. I don't know what they are. But whatever they are, it doesn't matter. God says, I'm going to bring all of them together. This is where we're at right now. See, God is cleaning up everything to bring us all into one fold. One. Hebrews 1:1. God, who at various times in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the what? Hello, worlds or world? Oh, worlds. Places of habitation. Who being the brightness of his glory, an express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat at the right hand of the majesty on high, having become so much better than the angels, and as he has by inheritance obtained a more excellent name. Jesus created worlds, places of inhabitation. We don't know where they are, do we? And we don't know how many have existed or been destroyed. We don't know. In Hebrews chapter 11. But we will. Hallelujah. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. By it, the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith, we understand that the worlds, the what? The worlds are framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. Powerful. By faith, the substance of things created. I'm going to say the things created against common laws of understanding. They come against the common laws of understanding. These were created by things against the common laws of understanding. You know, if somebody might give you a recipe for something to cook, a cookie, I don't care. We'll talk about a cookie. But God can make that cookie without a recipe. He doesn't need the things that are done. He can just make it. Amen? By faith, the substance of things created against the common laws of understanding. Matthew 25, verse 31. Says, when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All nations will be gathered together before him, and he will separate them from one and another, as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. So goats are what we call the left, or the rebellious, and the sheep are called the right. And he will set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats where? Hello. On the left. Then the king will say to those on his right hand, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, you gave me drink. I was a stranger, you took me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. Then righteous will answer, saying, Lord, when do we see you hungry and feed you and thirsty and give you drink? When do we see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? Or when do we see you sick or in prison and come to you? And the king will answer and say to them, assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these my brethren, you did it to me. Then he will also say to those on the left hand, depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you did not take me in. Naked, you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison, you did not visit me. Then they will also answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not minister to you? Then he will answer them, saying, assuredly I say to you, no much as you did not do it to the least of these, you did not do it to me. And these will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. Again, separation of the goat and sheep to expose and awaken the truth of the deception in this reality. That's what God is doing right now. What's he's cleaning up everything. He's got to clean up everything first before he can unite the whole, all of his creation from whatever fold they're coming from. Matthew 13. He's going to expose all the deception in this reality. And we're a part of it. We're here for it. I mean, we're blessed to be born in this time. Time's running out. According to prophetic insight of all the scriptures and everything, it revolves around the feasts, the moon, the red moon, the blood moons and everything. All of these things have fallen into place. We just came through the Feast of Trumpets and the Feast of Atonement, 10 days of awe. And look at all the things that are happening. What's happening? Exposure everywhere. God is cleaning it up. He's separating the goat from the sheep. He's separating the left from the right. He's separating the wicked from the righteous. Why? Because something's about to happen. Matthew 13, 24. Another parable he put forth to them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the grain had sprouted and produced a crop, then the tares also appeared. So the servants of the owner came and said to him, sir, did you not sow good seed in your field? How then does it have tares? And he said to him, an enemy has done this. The servant said to him, do you want us then to go and gather up them? But he said, no, lest while you gather up the tares, you also uproot the wheat with them. Look at this, is why everything's been delayed and waiting. Now it's happening. Let both grow together until the harvest. And at the time of the harvest, I will say to the reapers, first gather together the tares, which is the wicked, and bind them in bundles to burn them, but rather gather the wheat into my barn. I love it. Wheat is righteousness, tares are wickedness. All coming to a head in these last days. Jesus is going to clean up and close the gap of time. There's a gap in time that people don't understand. It's almost like a glitch in the matrix. Now, Jesus is coming to clean up and close up the gap in time. What is time? Time is the distance between beginning and end. That's the distance. That's what time is. Time is the distance between the beginning and the end. Now, do we always know the beginning from the end? No. But God does, doesn't he? He was here before me and you. Now, God is not bound by time. In the spirit, we're not bound by time. But in the physical, we're bound by time. And time is not on our side. Hallelujah. Ecclesiastes 3, verse 1. To everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven. Now, in the physical realm, there are four seasons in a year. In the spiritual realm, there's 4 years in one season. See, they cycle. 4 years, one season in the spirit. Does everybody get it? But in the physical, it's four seasons in 1 year. Verse 2. A time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, a time to pluck, a time to, is what to plant, what is planted, a time to kill, a time to heal, a time to break down, a time to build up, a time to weep, a time to laugh, a time to mourn, a time to dance, a time to cast away stones, a time to gather stones, a time to embrace, a time to refrain from embracing, a time to gain, a time to lose, a time to keep, a time to throw away, a time to tear, a time to sow, a time to keep silence, a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time of war and a time of peace. What profit has a worker from that in which he labors? I've seen God-given tasks with which the sons of men are to be occupied. He has made everything beautiful in its time. Also, he has put eternity in their hearts, except that no one can find out the work that God does from beginning to end. Why? Because it's in his time. Oh, hallelujah. Is everybody okay? Praise God. Again, four seasons in 1 year for the physical. It's 4 years for one season in the kingdom. There's a time for everything. God holds the time. He's the creator of time. Go to Ephesians 1. But right now, we're going to be talking about a gap in time. It's like a glitch in the matrix. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted in the beloved. In him we have what? Redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, which he made to abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, everyone say fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven, or other folds, and which are on earth in him. In him also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, that we who first trusted in Christ should be the praise of his glory. In him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and whom also having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory. In Jesus' name, we were chosen before time, predestined in him. The creation of this world, the earth, gathering all folds in the fullness of time, when time is fulfilled. Does everybody understand it? See, the fullness of time means the time being fulfilled. In other words, what's the distance of time? Beginning to what? End. In Genesis chapter 1, in Genesis chapter 1, This first verse is going to change everything. Hallelujah. Now, we've talked about this before. It's been a while now, but it's time to bring us back up again in more depth. What's the first verse? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now, what's the first thing he created? Time. In the what? Beginning. Beginning means time. It's a distance, right? The beginning and end. This is pretty amazing. Between verses 1 and 2, we call it a time of gap. There's a gap time. Verse 2, the earth was without form. Well, there's no way God's going to create something without form. And void and darkness was on the face of the deep. There's no way if God created something, it's like something coming out brand new, would it be without form or void. It's impossible. That means that there was a gap there. Now, the words in this, without form is and void, is associated with words of judgment, aftermath, destruction. Does everybody understand this? God would not create something that meant nothing. It wouldn't be void. It'd be brand new, beautiful, perfect. When a car comes out of the place and it's beautiful, clean, or whatever, that's how God created the earth. But those who inhabited it at that time were corrupt. And God destroyed it. And so there's a gap in time. It's called the gap in time. We call it a glitch in the matrix. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. In other words, the time gap between 1 and 2 was without form, void, darkness set in the deep, judgment and aftermath. Genesis expresses the judgment and restoration, not creation. Because if you see anything afterwards, everything there says, let there be. That does not mean create. It means restore. Everybody okay? Genesis expresses judgment and restoration, not creation. God created other worlds and possibly dismantled them. Some of them he kept. Some of them he might have dismantled. Because of what? Corruptible spiritual beings. God restored the earth and called it good as he began his restoration with the hovering of the Spirit. Again, the word let there be is not to create, it is to restore. Revelation 12. Oh, happy days. Now, you got to remember something about the Word of God, which is very powerful. It is three-dimensional. The Word of God can speak past, present, or future at any time, anywhere in the Word of God. He can speak to you personally at a present time. No matter where it is in the Word of God, it can be spoken, associated with things of past, associated with things of present, or associated with things of to come, or all three at once. And verse 7. Hallelujah. Revelation 12, verse 7. Let's speak it. And what? War broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought with the dragon. And the dragon and his angels fought, but they did not prevail, nor was a place found for them in heaven any longer. In other words, in God's presence. So the great dragon was cast out. What's his name? The serpent of old, called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Amazing. Does everybody see that? And they were cast out with him. Then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now salvation and the strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ, the anointing, has come. For the accuser of our brethren who accused them before our God day and night has been cast down. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they did not love their lives to death. Therefore rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and to the sea, for the devil has come down to you having great wrath because he knows that his time is what? His time is short. Wow. Satan and his angels were removed from the righteous positions of the unseen reality of God, causing a cosmic war that spilled into the visible world. I'm going to say that again. Satan and his angels were removed from the righteousness, from the righteous positions of the unseen reality of God into a visible world with devastation and darkness on the earth. They were removed and they came here. But during that period of time between Genesis 1 and 2, that's where many of the stuff started. Go to Isaiah 14. Verse 12. How you have fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning. How you are cut down to the ground, you who weaken the nations. For you have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. Okay, he's going to ascend into heaven. Why? Because he was at one time the ruler of the earth. God gave him dominion and authority. He ruled with the earth, and the angels were the inhabitants. And he's going to exalt himself above the stars and so forth. Remember, Lucifer was the praise and worship leader of the universe. I also will sit on the mount of the congregation on the farther sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. Well, there ain't no clouds in heaven. You don't need any. The only cloud that's in heaven is the glory of God. The clouds are here. I will be like the Most High. Well, here's the Lord's response. Yo, homie. Yet you shall be brought down to what? Hell, Sheol, the lowest depths of the pit. Those who see you will gaze at you and consider you, saying, is this a man who made the earth tremble, who shook kingdoms, who made the world a wilderness? Is it a wilderness? No. But was it a wilderness between Genesis 1 and 2? Yes. And destroyed its cities, who did not open the house of his prisoners. All the kings of the nations, all of them sleep in glory, everyone in his own house. But you are cast out of your grave, like an abominable branch, like the garment of those who are slain, thrust through with a sword, who go down to the stones of the pit, like a corpse trotting underfoot. You will not be joined with them in burial because you have destroyed your land, slain your people. Has that happened? I mean, we know that, you know, he's pretty wicked right now doing stuff, but this happened prior. He destroyed the land. He destroyed the earth. Brood of evildoers shall never be named. Prepare slaughter for his children. Who are his children? Offsprings of Nephilim. Because of the iniquity of their fathers, lest they rise up and possess the land and fill the face of the world with what? Cities. He says, I'm not going to let this happen again. This was the gap corruption that happened. Ezekiel 28. Is everybody okay? Are you getting this? Ezekiel 28, verse 11. Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, take up a lamentation for the king of Tyre, and say to him, Thus says the Lord God, you are a seal of perfection. Was any king a seal of perfection? Only Jesus. Amen. Full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. There wasn't any king like that. You were in Eden, the garden of God. Now, this is a questionable thing. How do we know that there wasn't two Edens? A before and an after. Just something to think about. Every precious stone was your covering. The sardius, topaz, and diamond, brill, onyx, and jasper, sapphire, turquoise, and emerald with gold. The workmanship of your timbrels and pipes was prepared for you on the day you were created. Why? Because he was a praise and worship leader. Why do you think music affects everyone? How many people fall in the trap of secular music? They become Christians and they don't want to give up the secular music. Let me tell you, you won't stay a Christian. Why? Because it's accursed. It's accursed music. It's frequencies of accursed. Verse 14, you were the anointed cherub. Well, there ain't no kings that were anointed cherub in the physical. Who covers what? Who covers the universe with praise. I establish you. You were on the holy mountain of God. The earth was known as the holy mountain of God at that time. You walked back and forth in the midst of the fiery stones. Why? Because he was there in creation. He was God's right-hand man. He saw God create things. You were perfect in your ways from the day you were created till iniquity was found in you. By the abundance of your trading, you became filled with violence within, and you sinned. Therefore, I cast you as a profane thing out of the mountain of God, and I destroyed you, O covering cherub, from the midst of the fiery stones. In other words, he was removed from his position as praise and worship leader on the earth between Genesis 1 and 2. Your heart was lifted up because of your beauty. You corrupted your wisdom for the sake of your splendor. I cast you to the ground. I laid you before kings that they might gaze at you. You defiled your sanctuaries by the multitude of your iniquities, by the iniquity of your trading. Therefore, I brought fire from your midst and devoured you. I turned you to ashes upon the earth in the sight of all who saw you. All who knew you among the peoples are astonished at you. You have become a whore and shall be no more forever and ever and ever. Now we know that this has not come to full pass, has it yet? But he was removed from the face of the earth in that position. He was removed. It's called the gap corruption time. That's what it was. There was a gap in time there. We don't hear about this enough, you know. And it's powerful because that is so, what's God doing? He's cleaning up that gap. He's cleaning up the gap. Why? Because he can't. If he doesn't clean it up, he can't bring the other folds. Genesis 6, verse 1. Now it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born to them, that the sons of God, which were, they're called watchers. They were called watchers. Saw the daughters of men that they were beautiful, and they took wives for themselves of all whom they chose. Now these watchers were to be protectors of the earth and maintain it. There were many of them. And the Lord said, my spirit, but 200 of them betrayed God. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not strive with the man with man forever. For he has indeed flesh, that his days shall be 120 years. There were giants on the earth in those days. Why was there giants on the earth in those days? Because Eve and Adam, and we'll go there in a minute, Eve produced two children of Satan's children. Now, we'll talk about that in a minute so people don't freak out. Now, Eve was righteous, right? So she produced a righteous one and a wicked one. Anyways, let's finish this. That's where these giants on the earth came from. In those days. And also afterward, when the sons of God or the watchers came into the daughters of men and they bore children to them, those were mighty men and who were of old, men of renown. They were giants. Those were called Nephilims. Why? Because they were offsprings of the watchers. The Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of their heart was only evil continually. And the Lord was sorry that he had made them and on the earth, and he grieved in his heart. So the Lord said, I will destroy man, whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and woman and beast and creeping thing and the birds of the air, for I am sorry that I made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of God. Now listen, this went on for 400 years. These giants, these Nephilims, taking wives, producing offsprings. God removed the watchers at a certain period of time and imprisoned them. But the Nephilim, the offsprings, were still producing. So what did God do? He destroyed them with the flood. Amen? So when these Nephilim and their offsprings were drowned and died, their spirits are what we call demons. Remember, they were violent. They were perverse. They had sex with everything, including animals. I really believe that's where our dinosaurs and stuff came from, because they couldn't have been that bad without Nephilim gene. Amen? Does anybody understand that? Hallelujah. Okay, let's go a little further here. I think. And that's good for now. Okay, so the sons of God watchers, these are angelic beings, heavenly stewards, descended on Mount Hermon. They took wives, produced offsprings, which are Nephilim, and they revealed secrets not meant for mortals. They were rebels with a heavenly DNA. And they intermixed with humanity. In Genesis 3, in verse 1. Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, as God indeed said, you shall not eat every tree of the garden. Now what was the serpent doing in the garden? He was serving Adam. Why? Because remember, he got removed. This was a part of his punishment. He was thrown to the earth, and the angels were thrown with him. So the serpent was in the garden serving Adam. Remember, God said to Adam, you name all the beasts. You name all the animals. Adam was now the ruler of the earth, where Lucifer used to be at one time. You don't think he was upset? Oh, you know he was up. He wanted his position back badly. Adam held the position that Lucifer used to hold until Lucifer became wicked. God created Adam in his image and likeness. Lucifer was not. So now we see a race of redemption being birthed. This was a race of redemption. Why? Because God was producing redemption on the earth. Remember, what was he bringing? Redemption and restoration. He was restoring things that were messed up. And the woman said to the serpent, we may not eat of the fruit. She wasn't eating those stinking fruit. In the trees of the garden. Remember, trees represent spirit. But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God said, you shall not eat, nor shall you touch it, lest you die. That was the spirit of the serpent. Then the serpent said to the woman, God lied to you. I mean, that's real simple. You shall not die, for God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be open, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. Now, wait a minute. Wasn't Lucifer portraying himself as God, knowing good and evil? Amen? So what was he convincing her? It wasn't about eating a fruit, it was partaking. Why? Because Lucifer was trying to produce his own offspring. So when a woman saw that the tree, Lucifer, was good for food, spiritual food, and it was pleasant to eyes. Remember, he was beautiful. He was a shapeshifter. And the tree desirable to make one wise, she partook and she became pregnant. She also gave to her husband, so she invited her husband to partake also. And he didn't become pregnant, thank God. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, but they were actually closed. Remember, they used to walk with God in the garden. They talked to God face to face. God spoke to them. From this point on, that no longer happened. They couldn't see God. They couldn't do. There was a distance. Why? Because sin separates you from God. Lucifer lied to them, and he took Adam's position. The eyes of both of them were opened to the what? Physical, and shut to the spiritual. And they knew that they were naked, so their eyes were on themselves, weren't they? And they sewed fig leaves together, made themselves leaves for coverings. And they heard the sound of the Lord walking in the garden. Is everybody with me? Are you reading this with me? In the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees. Why? Because they couldn't see him, but they could hear him. Is everybody with me? Then the Lord called to Adam and said, "Where are you?" Like he didn't know. So he said, "I heard your voice in the garden," and I was what? I was afraid. He never knew what fear was. "Because I was naked and I hid myself." And the Lord said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you partaken from that tree of which I commanded you not to?" Then the man said to the woman whom you gave me with me, she gave to me of the tree and I partook. Here we go, blame game. All started right in the garden. Then, and the Lord said to the woman, "What is this you have done?" And the woman said, "The serpent deceived me and I partook," or ate. So the Lord said to the serpent, here's judgment. Watch this. "Because you have done this, you are cursed more than all cattle and more than every beast of the field. On your belly you shall go." So he was upright, wasn't he? "You shall eat dust all the days of your life, and I will put hatred between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. And he shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel." And to the woman, now here's a vital, important part. Here's where you know that the woman had intercourse with the serpent, or Lucifer. Because God's judgment was this: "I will greatly multiply your" what? "Sorrow and your conception." Why would God say that to the woman who was going to have birth? Because she had birth with one of Lucifer's offspring. "In pain you shall bring forth children. Your desire shall be for your husband and not for the serpent. And he shall rule over you." Then to Adam he said, "Because you have heeded the voice of your wife and have partaken of the tree which I commanded you, saying, 'Do not partake,' curse is the ground for your sake. In toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life, both thorns and thistles. It shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the herb of the field. In sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken, and for dust you are, and dust you will return." And Adam called his wife his name Eve, because she was the mother of the living, a different reality now. She was not the mother of the eternal, just living. Because when something's living, it ends up what? Dying. "Also for Adam and his wife, the Lord God made tunics of skin." That means he killed an animal. Bloodshed covered them. Then the Lord said, the Lord God said, "Behold, the man has become like one of us to know good and evil. And now lest he put out his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat of it and live forever. Therefore the Lord God sent him out of the Garden of Eden to till the ground from which he was taken. So he drove out the man and placed a cherubim at the east gate of the garden and a flaming sword which turned every way to guard the way of the tree of life." The serpent, servant of Adam, caused Eve to participate and partake in a sexual immoral pleasure, and she caused Adam to partake, and Cain and Abel, the wicked and the righteous seed, was birthed. DNA change. Remember, the flood of Noah cleaned up to restore things also. Amen? That's when God destroyed everything. Now, there's something that happened. Why was there still giants after the flood? Because one of Noah's sons named Ham married a Nephilim. Not all of them became giants. And if you look at Ham's lineage, all the lineage of Ham were Nephilim race. They were all giants. Pesticides and megasites and whatever sites, and they're all Nephilim races. Amen? Philistine, all of them were Nephilim races. And they all came from Cain's lineage. Is everybody okay? Go to Jude chapter 1, in verse 5. Glory to God. But I want you to remind you, though, you once knew this, that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed those who did not believe. What's the word believe mean? Follow. And the angels who did not keep their proper domain, or the watchers, but left their own abode, he has reserved in everlasting trains under darkness for the judgment great day, as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities around them, in similar manner to these, having given themselves over to what? Sexual immorality. And gone after strange flesh. Like I said, animals and everything else. And again, I really believe that that's where dinosaurs came from. And set forth an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Likewise, also these dreamers defile the flesh, reject authority, and speak evil of dignitaries. Yet Michael the archangel, in contending with the devil, when he disputed about the body of Moses, dared not bring an accusation, bring him a reviling accusation, but said, "The Lord rebuke you." But these speak evil whatever they do not know, and whatever they know naturally, like brute beasts. In these things they corrupt themselves. Woe to them, for they have gone in the way of Cain, having run greedy in the error of Balaam, and for profit and perish in the rebellion of Korah. These are spots in your love feasts, while they feast with you without fear, serving only themselves. They are clouds without water, carried about by the winds, late autumn trees and without fruit, twice dead, pulled up by the roots, raging waves of the sea, from their shame, wandering stars from whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. Now Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied about these men, saying, "Behold, the Lord comes with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment on all, to convict all who are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds, which they have committed in an ungodly way, and all the harsh things which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. These are grumblers and complainers, walking according to their own lusts. They mouth great swelling words, flattering people to gain advantage. But you, beloved, remember the words which were spoken before by the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how they told you that there would be mockers in the last time who would walk according to their own ungodly lusts. These are sensual persons who cause divisions, not having the Spirit. But you, beloved, building yourselves up in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, which is tongues, keeping yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ until eternal life. And on some have compassion, making a distinction, but others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment defiled by flesh." Again, we are in a divine cosmic reset. That's what's happening. In other words, it's so much more than what you and I can comprehend. And I'm going to close at 1 John chapter 3, starting at verse 7, please. Everybody there? Hallelujah. Does it bring reality, revelation, understanding? So there's much more than what we realize why this is happening globally. Again, we are in a divine cosmic reset. God is cleaning it all up. Hallelujah. Verse 7, "Little children, let no one deceive you. He who practices righteousness is righteous, just as he is righteous. He who sins is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whoever has been born of God does not sin, for his seed remains in him, and he cannot sin because he has been born of God. In this the children of God and the children of the devil are manifest. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is he who does not love his brother. For this is the message that you had heard from the beginning, that we should love one another, not as Cain, who was what? Of the wicked one. He was the offspring of the wicked one. And murdered his brother. And why did he murder his brother? Because his works were evil and his brother's righteousness. Do not marvel, my brethren, if the world hates you. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love the brethren. He who does not love his brother abides in death. Whoever hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. Oh, hallelujah. Again, we are in a divine cosmic reset. You know, many people can't grab this, and I'm not saying it's an easy thing to grasp. Because we're not told these things. We're not taught these things. We teach a little bit of it, but I'm telling you, this is so much more than just exposing the good and evil and so forth. It's restoring. God is destroying. He's resetting. He's bringing all of his children from other fold together. Whoever they are, whatever they are, who knows? He's destroying the corruption. You can read in Romans 8 and Romans 1 about the corruption that God is doing. He exposes all their wickedness. You know, you think about all of these things that's going on. What are they doing? They're abducting children. They're perverse in areas, sexual immoralities. They're raping. They're doing this, that, one. I mean, these are supposedly believing people in a God that believe that they can just rape and kill and anyone they want. These are not of God. These are the Nephilim race. Islamic regimes. All of them. None of them rose from the dead. Jesus did. Amen. We are hard pressed on every side. Things are going to get a little bit more crazy. That's why God is sending troops into all states. Because once they start arresting the big boys, they got to tame the rest of them. The deep state, the Antichrist regime, the Nephilim race. Remember, the watchers are still in prison. They ain't been released yet. The wicked watchers. Eventually, they're going to have to, right now, they're preparing for the temple to be rebuilt and all the other stuff. Everything is in place. Everything is in place. The next feast is the Feast of Tabernacles. We are waiting, 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 watching, watching, watching. Receiving, receiving, receiving. But God's going to glorify his body like never before. The world's going to see the anointing of Jesus Christ on all of his believers, all of his followers, all of those that are sold out. Although those are thirsty and hungry for more. Because the world can't satisfy. Nothing can satisfy but the glory of God in his presence. Amen. Hallelujah. Father, we give you all the glory, honor, and praise. We thank you. Let the word that's been imparted today in the seed be protected by the blood of Jesus. And let it grow and bear fruit for your glory with more wisdom, discernment, and understanding of what you've revealed tonight. And that we be prepared in whatever is coming. In Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Praise God. Give somebody a hug. Tell them, you got it.